Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Once again, we got live events going on right now. We are at halftime of game 1 of 2 at Euro 2024 between the Netherlands and Romania. Dutch right now, big favorites at the intermission, up 1-0. They're minus 1,000. If you like Romania to win the game in regulation, they are 30-1, and then the draw is plus 725. Also, the over-under currently sitting at 2.5 with the over juiced a little bit to minus 125. We're going to talk plenty of soccer on the show today. Joe Malfa standing by to give his thoughts on the Copa and the Euros as well. Also, we'll give out some of my plays that I like as well. It is a Tee It Up Tuesday. We got the John Deere Classic this week out in Illinois. We will get into some golfers that I have my eye on this week. And then after only 3 games in Major League Baseball yesterday, we got a full slate of games today. We'll dive into that during Big League Peach as well. We'll have Lucy Burge join us later in the show for Model Making Money, and then wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. Any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have on anything going on? Of course, we got Wimbledon as well. Any best bets that are on your mind, let us know. Twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss anything over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. You can go check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. We'll go to the Glasser guest line, talking some soccer once again with my good friend Joe Malfa, who joins us. Give Joe a follow on X, @MalfaJ98, one of the voices pro soccer in the U.S. for MLS, NWSL, USL, and the host of Inter Miami's weekly show on Apple TV. Joe, I was talking to you before you came on, and obviously big night for you last night. You were calling the Bolivia-Panama game,
yeah,
having an eye on what was going on with U.S. and Uruguay. We had a lot of excitement there in the second half, but obviously, now that we've all kind of had a night to digest it a little bit, U.S. comes up short. They're unable to advance out of the group stage. What is just your thoughts of kind of the state of U.S. soccer at this point? Because we got the World Cup obviously coming in 2026. A lot of excitement around that, but definitely a disappointing result here in the Copas.
Yeah, how much time we got? I think you said 10 minutes for this segment. I think I could go for an hour about the state of U.S. soccer. But I think what it comes down to is this. Look, my coping mechanism when things like this happen as a diehard fan is I look at data to kind of like drive my opinion and make sure I'm not looking at things emotionally too much, because emotionally I was annoyed last night. But when I sat back and looked, if you go back to this last World Cup and you look at the top 15 teams in the world, like world ranking wise, if you go team by team, every single team that didn't reach their goal at the World Cup or at last Euro or at this current Euro has made a coaching change. The only team that hasn't done that is the United States. So whatever you think about Greg Berhalter, whoever anybody thinks about Greg Berhalter, and you can point to some of the other issues and maybe excuses, the point is, at the international stage, changes just have to happen because other times, if not complacency kind of breeds, I think complacency is kind of set in with this team. They backed him, the players, about a year ago, and it was just a matter of like him being a player's coach. But I think that's led to a point of complacency now. You can see it on the field. A change has to happen, but I'm not too concerned about this kind of diminishing or dampening any hopes for 2026 and accomplishing a lot of great things there, because the failure that this was compared to last night on X and on social media was in 2018 when they failed to qualify for the World Cup. It's not that magnitude, but the other difference was back then you had an aging team that was at the end. This team, if you look at who played last night, Tim Ream's 36, Matt Turner in goals 30, but for goalkeepers you could play until you're 40. Every other player that was important was 25 or younger. So this is still a group that's not even in its prime yet. So for all they've accomplished to not even be in their prime yet, I kind of think they needed this setback last night. The only player who was a part of that 2018 failure was Christian Pulisic, and you see the fire he plays with for the U.S. Some of the other guys just don't seem to have that, and part of it is I think they haven't had a hurdle like this to clear. Ever since 2018, it's been just some Gold Cups and a fine World Cup, getting out of the group and losing to a good Netherlands team right now that's beating Romania, as you mentioned. So I think this is a hurdle that will help the guys have that fire in their belly. Coaching change needs to happen. Who it is, we'll find out. But it was a fork in the road, and it'll spark some change.
Yeah, certainly disappointing. I know we were all looking forward to kind of watching them against the winner of likely Brazil or Colombia. We saw that would be the two teams that would advance out of Group D. And Brazil, there's still some work to do for them. They get going against Colombia tonight, Joe. Then you have Costa Rica and Paraguay in the other game. Anything for you? Any thoughts on either of those games tonight?
Honestly, it's probably the most ho-hum night of either Euro or Copa so far. Paraguay is out. Costa Rica is technically alive, but I'll give you their scenario. They need to win. Brazil needs to lose. And six goals of goal differential need to be made up. So in other words, Colombia and Brazil are going through, but neither team is going to rest anybody tonight because they know that first place will go ahead and meet Panama and second place will meet Uruguay. So you're going to want that easier matchup in the quarterfinals. So they will both be full starting 11 tonight. Nobody resting, going at it. Should be an end-to-end fun game. I think Colombia does enough to at least get the tie tonight to make sure they win the group. But I'm sticking overall big picture with what my pick was before the tournament, which was Brazil would go on and win the whole thing. The way things are structured right now, like Argentina's going to have an easy walk through to the final, it seems. They have Ecuador and then either Venezuela or Canada. So that side of the bracket's kind of a cakewalk. This side is the tougher side. And I think just because of the way the first couple games have gone, Colombia can shield it away with the draw tonight. But I do like Brazil. The way they clicked finally in that last game against Paraguay, I've been waiting for that. I think they continue to roll now. Again, tough opponent tonight because Colombia can just play for the tie. But when you get to knockout stage, I think they beat Uruguay. I think they beat Colombia. And I think we get the Argentina-Brazil final that everybody was hoping to see.
Can't wait for that. Brazil right now, plus 300, BetMGM to win the Copas. Joe, over to the Euros now. We got the Dutch facing Romania. Netherlands up 1-0 here in the 47th minute in the second half. So the Dutch in a good spot to advance. And if they do, they're going to get the winner of Austria and Turkey coming up here at about 3 p.m. Eastern time. Turkey, they're an upset for me. I like them to win this game today. Any thoughts for you on this game coming up?
My only thought is that it's going to be probably one of those like low-key, under-the-radar fun games that we've had this tournament. There have been a couple that like early in the tournament, remember they were just kind of stuck on Fubo TV and they weren't on Fox. You had to go find it if you wanted to watch it, and some of those became the best games that we've seen in the tournament. Austria and Turkey could be that kind of game. I do have a play in that game. I was looking at the correct score options. I think both teams score. I think it's an end-to-end game. And last I looked, Austria was plus 400 to win the game 2-1, 3-1, or 4-1. So that's where I'm keeping my eye for that game. Should be a fun game. I'm looking ahead because I'm going on vacation. I can't pop on your show next week. I do like in the next round, you're going to have a Netherlands-Austria meeting again. Remember, that was the last meeting in the group stage in that drama-filled final day where France ended up falling to second. The Dutch fell to third. It was because Austria beat Netherlands. Revenge game there. Go with the Dutch to win that game in 90 minutes.
I like it. Yeah, let's look at some of those quarterfinal matches because, Joe, the top half of the region in the knockout stage was just absolutely loaded.
Oh, yeah.
And we got the two matchups that we all wanted to see: Spain, Germany, Portugal, and France. Your early thoughts on both of those games?
Yeah, Spain has played maybe the most aesthetically pleasing tournament so far, and it's just end to end. They're awesome in the attacking half. Lamine Yamal, I mean, the 16-year-old's just stunning, and Nico Williams has been outstanding as well. They're fun to watch. However, you could tell there was probably a butt coming to that sentence, I think, the way that I put it. Uh-huh. But going to the group stage, Italy is a big team in name only. They haven't been good. Croatia, a big team in name only. They haven't been good. They kind of waltzed through Spain, and Georgia was the easiest opponent possible in the round of 16. So I think they are a great team, but it's a little bit inflated because of who they've played. Germany is a little more battle-tested. They are still at home, obviously, and I think they're more well-rounded. I took a look at the odds. It's basically a push as far as teams to advance in that game. I still think Germany ekes it out, even though Spain has been the most fun team to watch. It's going to be a great game regardless. And then in the other one, honestly, I think France dog walks Portugal in this one. I don't think it's a good matchup at all for Portugal. They're a collection of individuals and not a team. And for all the critiques there have been about France so far not scoring enough, I know the joke was going around yesterday. They've scored 3 goals in this tournament, 2 own goals and 1 Mbappe penalty. The thing that flies under the radar there, they also haven't given up any. The only goal they've conceded was that penalty against Poland. And I looked at expected goals. I guess I could kind of equate it to war, just kind of for baseball, just a way to kind of look at the underlying metrics, even if the score has been a little bit different. Their expected goals in the 4 games they've played are 7-2. So they've been dominating teams. They don't give up anything defensively. I think they dog walk Portugal, and they're still my pick to win it all. I think they're just outstanding. And England, Switzerland, get ready for penalties. That's got 0-0 to penalties written all over it.
That was going to be my next question. Got about 30 seconds left, Joe. Real quick thought on England. We see this all the time in sports where a team has that survive and advance game, no business winning, and then it can just catapult them to a championship run. You don't get that feeling from England, though. You still think that, you said Switzerland, England, you think is going a distance. You think somebody's going to pick them off at some point.
People thought that England's poor group stage would be a spark for their round of 16. It wasn't. So I'm not going to hold my breath now that their round of 16 is a spark for what's next. Granted, they have an easier draw with Switzerland and Netherlands on the other side of the bracket, but I don't see it. They're stuck in reverse right now, and Gareth Southgate's head's probably going to roll after this one as well. If they get through, they get through, but it's got 0-0 penalties, and England has a very, very poor history going back to the 60s in penalties. So I might look at the Swiss in that one.
They certainly do. Brazil in the Copas and France in the Euros. He's Joe Malfa. Give him a follow on X at MalfaJ98, one of the voices of pro soccer in the U.S. for MLS, NWSL, the USL, and also the host of Inter Miami's weekly show on Apple TV. Joe, have a great trip, man. Enjoy the rest of the international soccer. We'll catch up again soon, my friend.
Oh, I can tell my wife's going to be mad at me this Friday when I'm trying to be at a bar in Italy watching Spain and Germany instead of seeing the sights. So thank you, though.
We can all relate to that. We certainly can. Let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. We're going goals with Glasser as we continue to preview these games. We do have that Austria and Turkey game coming up here, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Austria minus 105, Turkey plus 310. The draw is plus 225. We were talking about this game a lot yesterday. And guys, honestly, in the knockout stage so far, it's been pretty chalky. Outside of Switzerland, every favorite has advanced to the quarterfinals. Netherlands is up 1-0 right now against Romania. I think this could be a good spot to take the dog. When we get teams like Austria who aren't used to this kind of pressure, and Turkey gets to play with house money, I think that's a good thing for Turkey. I'll take them plus 310 against Austria. Then looking at some of those quarterfinal games that start on Friday, we get Spain and Germany. I think these have been the best two teams so far in the tournament. Joe brought up a decent point about Spain. Maybe their results don't look as good as what we're perceiving because they've beaten a lot of big names, but these teams aren't as strong as we're accustomed to them being, and they're going up against the tournament host, Germany. Plus 175 are the Germans in regulation. Spain's plus 155. The draw is plus 225. I'm going to take Spain to qualify for the next round at minus 120. So they can win in regulation. They can win in extra time. They can win in penalty kicks. I think Spain's going to advance. I think it's going to be a great game. I think the winner of that game is going to win Euro 2024, but I'm riding with Spain minus 120 to make it to the semifinals. As for that Portugal and France game, I agree with Joe. I think France is going to win. I don't know if they're going to dog walk them, but I think they're going to win. The under 2.5 is minus 190, and I really don't want to bet that. That's just too much juice to lay. So I think the value that you can find in that game is for both teams not to score at minus 145 because of what Joe said. France hasn't given up a goal the entire tournament. I don't really think Portugal's attacking players can challenge the French, even though they got some world-class talent. The French have been so solid defensively. And even France might get shut out in regulation as well, and that could be a 0-0 game going to extra time. So instead of playing the under 2.5 at minus 190, I like the value on both teams not to score at minus 145. And as for the Copa games today, Joe brought up a great point about Colombia and Brazil, both teams likely to advance, but both are going to play all their guys and try and win this game because they don't want to get Uruguay. They want to get Panama. So this will be a great game. Two of the four betting favorites left here in the Copas that we have. I like Brazil tonight. I think Colombia, a lot of people are going to like them because of that price at plus 310. But I agree with Joe. I think that first game is always the toughest, especially for big tournament favorites. Life without Neymar, having to deal with that on a big stage. Looked more like Brazil in the second game. I think they get a win today against Colombia. So I'll take Brazil at minus 115. And then Costa Rica and Paraguay is going to be a pass for me tonight. B Mills, how does Joe like Colombia double chance since a draw helps them as well as tonight? And I'm not too high on Brazil right now. B-Mills, unfortunately, we don't have Joe anymore. But considering he likes Brazil to win the tournament, I would think that he's probably on Brazil to win tonight against Colombia, again, with the incentive that they don't want to face Uruguay in that quarterfinal in the knockout round. So we'll see what happens. Should be fun. Let's talk some golf. It's Tee It Up Tuesday here on Send It In. We got the John Deere Classic out in Silvis, Illinois. And once again, no Scottie Scheffler in the field, folks, so we got a chance at hitting an outright. Minwoo Lee let us down with that bogey on 18. Could have been in the playoff and potentially win the tournament, but we bounced back. We got some golfers that were eyeing this week at the John Deere. Some things you want to know about this course: 7,268 yards. It's a par 71. It's one of the easiest courses on the PGA Tour. And with where it is on the PGA Tour schedule, it's usually one of the weakest fields as well, because next week, all the big guys head out to Europe. They're playing in the Scottish Open, and then they're playing in the British Open after that. So that's why when you look at the odds boards, you're seeing Sung Jae-im is the favorite at 14-1. Sepp Straka, who won it last year, at 16-1. Aaron Rye, who had a chance to win the Rocket Mortgage, is 18-1. And then you got Jordan Spieth, a past champion who hasn't played here in the last 8 years. He is 18-1 as well. So it's a wide open field, much like the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which creates a lot of great betting opportunity for this week. The key stat that I'm looking at this week for the John Deere is going to be strokes gained approach, because this is going to be another course that's going to be a birdie fest. It's going to yield a ton of low scores. The fairways are wide, and you got to be able to be precise, pinpoint with your iron game. So long hitters, the bomber is really not going to be a factor this week. You can be a shorter hitter, but I'm looking for guys that are great putters, because we want to make a lot of birdies, and also guys that are excellent with their irons, especially from like 150, 125 yards and in. Going to have a lot of wedge shots and nine irons this week at the John Deere. As I mentioned, you want guys that can go low at this course, because the winning score is probably going to be somewhere in the 20 under par to 25 under par range. Got to be able to make birdies. And also, course history matters here, because this event usually doesn't have a lot of the biggest names in the game of golf. This is usually the event where all the other guys in the field trying to make a name for themselves, trying to get some job security on the PGA Tour. This is one of those events where they really feel like they have a chance of winning, and it tends to favor certain players year after year, so course history does matter here. Patrick Cantlay was the favorite at the early part of the week, but he withdrew. So again, that is what made the odds so jumbled. First guy I'm looking at this week is going to be Denny McCarthy at 22-1. Denny is one of the best putters on the PGA Tour, which I absolutely love, because I think he can make a ton of birdies here. The weaknesses in his game is off the tee, and his iron game isn't that great as well. But because of the wide fairways and at the Travelers in his last event, he gained nearly 3 strokes off on approach. If he can continue that, I think Denny could be a factor this week. So I'll take him at 22-1. Nick Dunlap is another guy that I'm looking at 33-1. Why? Because there are certain guys on the PGA Tour that play easy courses well. When we have events where you know you have to go really low to win, that's where Nick Dunlap tends to succeed. He won the American Express earlier this year when he had to shoot like 27 under par. He was in contention last week in Detroit, tied for 10th, where he had to go low. So Nick Dunlap be another guy that I would look at this week at 33-1. Then we got Lucas Glover at 55-1. The older guys tend to play the John Deere pretty well, like the Steve Strickers, the Zach Johnsons, the Lucas Glovers. You know, some of those old guys, because they can plot their way around the golf course and because you can be a shorter hitter on this course, Lucas Glover's 44 years old. He's had great success here. He was sixth place last year, won this event in 2021, and then also finished 10th in 2019. Glover's not in the greatest form right now, but I'm just going off of course history and the value as well. So I'll take a shot at him at 55-1. However, my favorite bet on the board is going to be Patton Kizzire at 100-1. I think this is an excellent price for Patton Kizzire. Why? Because I mentioned strokes gained approach is probably the most valuable stat this week just because of how many birdies are going to be made. Patton Kizzire is one of the best guys in the field, strokes gained approach. Excellent iron player, very accurate, so I love that. And also, he's coming in very hot. Four of his last five starts, he has finished inside the top 25, and then playing here, two of his last three finishes have been inside the top 20. So I'm getting a guy that should be a great course fit, has good course history here, and is playing in good form. We're getting him at 100-1. Absolutely, we take a stab out of that, but my favorite play of the week is going to be a top 20 finish for Patton Kizzire at plus 350. I think you got to bet that. So that is what I'm looking at this week at the John Dear. All right, let's talk some baseball. A little big league peach here on Send It In before we check in with Lucy Burge. We got Lucy's Red Sox in action today against the Marlins. Cutter Crawford is on the mound, which has not been good things for Cutter Crawford when he has pitched away from Fenway this season. The Red Sox have only won two games in which Cutter Crawford has taken the mound on the road. I think there's some value on the Marlins tonight. I will take them at plus 145. Chris Flexen against Carlos Carrasco tonight in Cleveland, White Sox and Guardians with a total of 9. Two pitchers that give up a lot of runs. I'm going to take the over in Cleveland. Cardinals and Pirates will be a pass for me tonight between Kyle Gibson and Mitch Keller. Mets are in D.C. to take on the Nationals, and that's usually a good thing for the Mets because they have owned the Nationals this season. Give me the Mets minus 145. I take the over 9 in that game as well. Reds and Yankees in New York tonight. Luis Gil going up against Graham Ashcraft. The regression has started for Luis Gil, has not been anywhere near as good in the last two starts as he's been for the whole season, and Graham Ashcraft has given up 3 earned runs or more in his last 5 starts playing at Yankee Stadium. I think we're going to see some more fireworks tonight. I like another over 8.5 between the Yanks and the Reds. Astros Blue Jays tonight in Toronto. Blue Jays are a small favorite at minus 115. Jose Berrios going up against Spencer Arrighetti. Normally, I would be on the side of the Blue Jays, but I think the Astros, guys, they're rolling right now. You just got to keep betting them. Give me Houston minus 105 against the Jays. Giants in Atlanta tonight to take on the Braves. Hayden Birdsong going up against Ronaldo Lopez. Everybody's talking about Chris Sale, and rightfully so. He's been awesome for the Braves this season. Ronaldo Lopez has also been very, very good. And in his last 5 starts, the Braves have won all 5 of those, and they've covered the run line in all 5 as well. Give me the Braves minus 110 against the Giants tonight on the run line. Tarik Skubal on the mound for Detroit, going up against Minnesota, and the Twins are favored minus 125 against the Tigers. I think that's a little bit suspect. A lot of people are probably going to like Skubal at plus money. I'm not one of those people. Give me Minnesota minus 125. The absolute stinkiest line of the day is the Chicago Cubs being favored against the Philadelphia Phillies. How can that possibly be? Honestly, I'm not really sure, but if odds makers are telling us that the Cubs are the side to bet, I'm going to ride with the Cubs. Give me Chicago on the money line at minus 125. Good pitching matchup in Texas. Dylan Cease against Nathan Eovaldi. Padres and Rangers. Folks, I think Wyatt Langford is getting ready to go on a tear for the Texas Rangers. He had a cycle on Sunday Night Baseball against the Orioles. He's back home. Give me Wyatt Langford to stay hot. Over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs at plus 115. Rays and Royals tonight in Kansas City. Brady Singer against Zach Littell. Anytime I see a 9 or above in KC, I'm going to take the over, and I'm doing that once again tonight. Brewers and Rockies tonight at Coors Field, total of 11. Dallas Keuchel going for Milwaukee against Ryan Feltner for the Rockies. I'm going to stay away from that game. They played extra innings last night. Angels have been playing good baseball in Oakland tonight, taking on the A's. I'll take Oakland minus 105 against the Angels. Give me Orioles team total under 3.5 runs today against George Kirby and the Seattle Mariners. Think that's going to be a low-scoring game. And then the Dodgers play host to the D-backs. Bryce Miller against Ryan Nelson. I will pass on that game. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with our friend Lucy Burge standing by. Talk some baseball here in a little bit with Lucy. Before we get into that, what are the 5-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Five-star play for today. Brewers, Rockies, over 11, which has moved to 11.5. Still five stars. They hit this over yesterday in the Rockies 8-7 win over the Brewers, and the Rockies have hit this in their last three games, while the Brewers have hit this in their last two games and their last five on the road. And at home, the Rockies have hit this in seven of their last eight. So the BetQL model loves this as a five-star play for today.
Very good. Lucy, what about yourself? What are some of your favorite plays here for today?
Yes, I have a couple of Lucy long balls for today, PJ. Jorge Soler to hit a home run. His last home run was June 19th, so he's due for another one. And against Reynaldo Lopez, he's batting .637 with 12 hits and 3 home runs, 3 doubles and 6 singles, and he has 9 home runs this season. I think he can make it 10 tonight. I also have Jose Altuve to hit a home run. He has 2 home runs in his last 6 games, 13 home runs this season. Against Jose Berrios, he has 5 hits, including 1 home run, 3 singles and a double, and Berrios has allowed at least 1 home run in each of his last 5 starts, so I love that for Jose Altuve. And then Jarren Duran, over 1.5 total bases against the Marlins. He has gone over this in 7 of his last 9 games and in his last 2 games, with 4 in each of those, and he has a home run in each of his last 2 games to make those 4 total bases in each, 4 home runs in his last 9 also, so I like him to go over 1.5 total bases tonight.
All right, I like you. Your guy Jarren Duran's been hot for the Red Sox. Lucy, I was talking about that Cubs and Phillies game, and I think a lot of people are going to think it's a little bit suspect that the Cubs are favored tonight against the Phillies. Do you think that's a trap line? Would you take Chicago, or are you going to take the Phillies tonight if you had to make a play?
I love the Phillies tonight, PJ. Let's say Mercado doesn't go super deep into this game. They have the 5th best bullpen ERA, and the Cubs are batting .230 overall as a team. The Phillies are missing a bunch of their stars, but I think they can still win this one against the 39-46 Cubs. So I like the Phillies tonight. I would still take them on the money line.
Very good. And obviously, every time you're on the show, you always give us Lucy long balls. You just gave us a couple there. We had Gunnar Henderson say on Sunday that he is going to enter the home run derby. Who would Lucy Burge love to see compete in the home run derby?
Yes. So I, unsurprisingly, would love to see a Red Sox player in the home run derby. There has not been one since 2011. David Ortiz, Adrian Gonzalez, I believe, also in the home run derby. I would love to see Rafael Devers, although he has said that if he is invited, he would decline, which makes sense. I mean, you don't want to see Rafael Devers get injured. However, I would love to see him. If not Rafael Devers, Tyler O'Neill. I would love to see Tyler O'Neill and his massive arms in the home run derby. He is second on the team behind Rafael Devers in home runs this season. So because Rafael Devers doesn't want to do it, I would love to see Tyler O'Neill in the home run derby.
It's a good choice. He does have some big arms. I will give him that. Sure. Tristan Casas, I assume, is the real answer, though, if he was
well,
healthy.
Well, of course, obviously, PJ. Of course. If he was, so in his mind, I think he's done about 20 home run derbies, but if he was healthy, I would love to see Tristan Casas in the home run derby.
I mean, who would? Who would?
Of course.
He would take your money so fast, Lucy. You would bet him. Be awesome. Hopefully he can get healthy.
Certainly would.
Maybe we will see a Red Sox in the home run derby. We'll see. I think O'Neill is a good call. Make sure you check out Lucy and Jake's show, Bet Slips and Bat Flips, coming up 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the BetQL Network. Lucy, thanks as always. Good luck on all your plays, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-5 star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, it's time to wrap up the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In, going streaking. We are going with Juan Soto tonight for the New York Yankees going up against Graham Ashcraft. He is 3-for-9 against Ashcraft in his career. Soto's batting .303 this season. Like that matchup with Soto at Yankee Stadium going up against Graham Ashcraft. So hopefully Soto can get us to 3 straight here in going streaking. My prop lock, as I mentioned during Big League Peach, folks, I think Wyatt Langford is getting ready to go on a tear. I would look at him right now for AL Rookie of the Year, and I'd keep betting him. Bruce Bochy during that Orioles series said, Lankford's close. He's starting to get there, and then the guy goes out and hits for the cycle on Sunday Night Baseball. I'd keep riding the hot hand. He's back home tonight. Give me over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs, plus 115 for Wyatt Lankford. I'm going to take the Marlins, plus 145 as my dog of the day against the Red Sox. Cutter Crawford and the Red Sox have only won 2 games this season in which he has started on the road. I'm going to take Miami at plus 145. Shawnee Sharp, what say you, my friend? What are we doing?
Yeah, Peach. We're going to also stick to the MLB here. I'm going to take Jorge Soler over 1.5 bases at minus 105. He has amazing history against Ronaldo Lopez, who I know, former White Sox legend, has been doing really well. But Soler has gone over this in 3 of his last 4 games, and it has 4 doubles in his last 2 games. So I think Soler's heating up and has great history.
I like it. I like it. Much like a golf handicap, good history and in good form. So we'll take Soler over 1.5 bases. And I'm going to take the Chicago Cubs as my best bet, minus 125 against the Phillies. Look, if you guys watch the show, I mean, you know I live for this stuff, right? Like, you see the Phillies as an underdog to the Cubs. Somebody's got to know something. Both the pitching matchup's horrible. So it's not like Imanaga's on the mound against this Mercado guy for the Phillies. Both guys are pitching scrubs today. But the Phillies are underdogs. Makes no sense. I'll take the Cubs, minus 125 against Philadelphia. Once again, our favorite plays for today. Juan Soto is going to be our guy against Graham Ashcraft and going streaking. Wyatt Lankford over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, plus 115 tonight for the Rangers against the Padres. Dog of the day is going to be the Marlins, plus 145 against the Red Sox. Shawnee Sharp is taking Jorge Soler over 1.5 bases. And the Cubs, minus 125, is going to be my best bet against the Phillies. We also got Turkey from yesterday, our dog of the day, going up against Austria, coming up here in about 1.5 hours. So hopefully we have a great day. Thanks again to Joe Malfa. Thanks to Lucy Burge for joining us here on Send It In. Appreciate you guys watching, sending in your questions. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Good luck on all your bets, and we will see you guys tomorrow.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story, it's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns.
If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.